going out today, and welcome to visitors again. If you're following along in your Bibles, we're going to start off in 1 John, the second chapter, first five verses. An honest man was being tailgated by a stressed-out woman on a busy street, and suddenly the light turned yellow in front of him, and like a good citizen, he stopped his car and didn't, you know, run through the yellow light through the intersection. Now, the tailgating woman went through the roof and blew her horn, screaming his frustration. Yes, she missed her chance to get through the intersection. Now, as she was having her fit, she heard a tap on the window, and she turned to see a police officer there. The officer told her to get out of the car, and he handcuffed her, and he took her down to the police station, and she was photographed and fingerprinted. And after a couple of hours, the policeman approached the cell and opened the door. And she was escorted out, and of course he gave her back her personal effects. He said, "I'm very sorry for the mistake. You see, I pulled up behind your car while you were blowing your horn, acting very angrily and making hand gestures to the poor guy in front of you, you know, and using curse words and stuff. And I noticed the Choose Life license plate, the What Would Jesus Do bumper sticker, the Follow Me to Sunday School bumper sticker, and the chrome-plated Christian fish emblem on the trunk. Naturally, I assume you must have stole this car." And we've probably all seen angry people who had, you know, church names or things similar to this on the back of their vehicles. And, you know, we kind of think, you know, do you really realize what kind of impression that makes? So this morning, the question we want to ask is, you know, will God say, "Do I know you?" when we get there. So let's read our text this morning. It kind of forms the basis of what we're looking at this morning. John wrote, "My dear children, I write this to you so that you will not sin. But if anybody does sin, we have one who speaks to the Father in our defense, Jesus Christ, the righteous one. He is the atoning sacrifice for our sins, and not only for ours, but also for the sins of the whole world. We know that we have come to know him if we obey his commands. The man says, 'I know him,' but does not do what he commands, is a liar, and the truth is not in him. But if anybody obeys his word, God's love is truly made complete in him. This is how we know we are in him. Whoever claims to live in him must walk as Jesus did." So, John goes on to say, this is not a new command, but one you should already know here. Many people feel they have a right relationship with God. They believe their relationship with God supersedes the necessity for obedience. They think because it's, "Oh yeah, I know God, I worship God, I have a spiritual relationship," but they skip on that obedience part. There are many aspects of the Christian relationship with God in Scripture. You know, it's one thing for us to say on a weekly basis that you should obey God, but how we're going to tell if we are obeying him? How do we measure up to that? What is the standard? So we'll look at some of these aspects. So the first aspect we'll look at is the relationship of love. Now, we are commanded to love God, Matthew 22, verse 37. So we're commanded to love God, and that should be natural and should come natural to the Christian because we know what we have gotten from Christ, that sacrifice of his that washes us white as snow, that covers up our sins. As John said here, we don't want to sin, but if we do, we have an advocate. We have someone that speaks to the Father. Our love must be based on our obedience. Now let's turn there. Again, we're looking at something that John wrote in John 14, verse 15. In John 14, 15, if you love me, you will obey what I command. So here we see that command. Jesus said, if you love me, then obey my command. So what are his commands? Well, we have to study the Bible to know that. We have to look at that. Are we going to be perfect in every way? No, but are we going to try? You know, in the Army, they say, well, they, you know, when they say jump, in the middle of jumping up, you ask how high. You don't say how high before you jump. You just do it. And it's the same way with Jesus, is that when he tells us to do something, we don't need to be questioning, why should I do this? I don't think we should have to do this. It's 21st century. And it's surely got to be different. That's ancient. That's, you know, how is that relevant? Does that do anything? It's like when Paul wrote, you don't get baptized because it, you know, washes you clean. It's the sign of a good conscience. To show that we're willing, okay, God, you want me to be baptized? You want me to do this? Now, we know that baptism, Paul said, it doesn't make it clean. But it's an act of obedience to Christ, that I'm not going to question what he says. I'm not going to change it any kind of way. But if the model that they show me here is that I have to realize that I'm a sinner. I have to realize that I can't save myself and that I need someone like Jesus. And I have to realize, repent of those sins, confess Jesus' name, that he is the Savior and he can save me. And then, again, as Paul wrote and said, we participate in the dying to ourselves, like Jesus died on the cross, the burial in the water, in other words, completely covered up with water, and we rise again that new creature. And that's what we're doing. We're obedient to Christ. Again, if we hop on over in the book of John, to chapter 21, John 21:23-24. Because of this, rumor spread among the brothers that this disciple would not die. But Jesus did not say that he would not die. He only said, if I want him to remain alive until I return, what is it to you? This is the disciple who testified these things and who wrote them down. We know that his testimony is true. So, we can see here that Jesus is the absolute authority over everything. So a lack of obedience, does that mean we love Christ? No, it's a lack of love on our part. We're not wholly committed to him if we can't wholly give our life to him and follow him and do his will. The relationship of friendship with God. Jesus considers us his friends. And again, that's in the book of John 15:14-15. We are his friends. We are his close friends. We are his loved ones. And we know that in the end, we'll be joint heirs with Christ. Adopted sons and daughters of God. And our friendship with Jesus is dependent on our obedience. Let's look again at John chapter 15:14-15. I know there's a lot of jumping around, but it's important that we look at these scriptures. Because the things we hold true are these scriptures. Not any kind of doctrine of man, not anything written out there, but wholly upon God's word. So in John 15, verses 14-15, you are my friend if you do what I command. Again, there is that command to obey his command. Verse 15, I no longer call you servants because a servant does not know his master's business. Instead, I have called you friends, for everything that I learned from my Father, I have made known to you. It's been revealed to God's people, those who would follow him. But if we follow his commands, we are in his stead. We are his friends. We are his loved ones. And a lack of obedience stands in the way of our relationship with God. So again, over and over, and from the beginning of the Bible, what did Adam and Eve do? They disobeyed God. They did not show that true love and trust to God. So man's story starts out with his failings. And all through the Old Testament study, like we've been doing this morning and previously before that, we see over and over man's inability to be perfect. We are truly naked and powerless against sin without God in our lives. The relationship of family. We're in God's family. Ephesians 3:14-15 tell us this. Jesus taught that those who obey the will of God are more his family than his own flesh and blood relatives. Matthew 12:46-50. Who is my father? Who is my mother? But those that obey. These are the things we're told repeatedly over and over by Jesus. So Does Jesus want us going our own way? Does God want us going our own way? We know that the Israelites took the pledge. They didn't listen to it. They didn't follow it. They sought other idols and everything. But they took the pledge. Yes, we will obey God's command. So, if we love God, if we want to have a relationship, if we profess to be a Christian, then these are the things we should be doing. We should be following God. Because God knows what's best for our life. And He knows those who obey Him lip service only. They'll just say, oh, yeah, I believe in God. Just in case there's a small little inkling that maybe there is a God, I don't want to deny Him or anything like that. But that's not the relationship that God wants us to have. He wants us to believe in Him, to have faith in Him, and trust that whatever happens in this life, in the end, will be with Him in heaven. The child of God manifests himself in the will of God. That's how they live their lives. The wrath of God is in store for the children of disobedience. And that's important for us to look at if you turn to the book of Ephesians. That's chapter 5 and verse 6. Ephesians 5 and verse 6. Let no one deceive you with empty words, for because of such things, God's wrath comes on those who are disobedient. So, there again, when God says something like, well, something bad is going to happen to you if you don't obey me, well, then that's when my ears perk up, well, then I need to obey. And then I need to find out what I do need to obey and follow those things as best I can. Again, will ever be perfect? No. Will we get it 100% right? No. But if we look at it honestly and look at the Word of God, and, you know, we'll get it close enough that God knows that we want to do it as He wants us to do it. God is also our Father. 2 Corinthians 6:17 through 18. If God is our Father, if God is creator of the universe, then why not listen to Him and listen to His counsel, listen to His Word? Do you think He knows better than, say, you and I? If He can create the universe, then I think He certainly knows what's best for my life. And I hope that you know that's what's best for your life. Our relationship with God is as a father and his children who are dependent upon Him and who obey Him. And the relationship of fellowship. Christians have fellowship with God. 1 John 1:3. We walk with the Lord. He is with us each and every day. He's a constant companion. You know, when we ride with a relative, a friend, or something like that, or we have a companion in the car, or in the olden days, in the horse and buggy, or walking down the road, we converse with them. We talk to them, and we listen to them, and we talk, and, you know, we have a conversation back and forth. Well, we have the same thing with God. He walks with us each and every day, and we can always go to Him and pray, and when we remember someone who needs a prayer, or a devastation someplace, and earthquakes, and bad things happening to people, that we pray for them. And we pray for them often. And when we want to listen to God, we go to His Word. We can't learn what God wants us to do unless we look in His Word, unless we see what He commands of us. So we have to have that relationship with God. We can't walk, as 1 John 1:6 tells us, we can't claim to have fellowship with Him if we walk in sin. You know, if we don't walk the walk and talk the talk, we can't just say, well, yeah, I believe in God. Oh, yeah, I'm a good Christian. You know, I believe in all that. Unless we live it in our lives. Unless we live it in our lives, we truly don't believe it. Our fellowship with God, again, is dependent upon obeying Him. And the relationship of the bondservant. Now, many Christians in Scripture were said to be bondservants of Christ. Paul in Romans 1:1, Galatians 1:10, Philippians 1:1, and Titus 1:1. He always refers to himself as a bondservant. Epaphras in Colossians 4:12 refers to himself as a bondservant. Timothy in Philippians 1:1. Peter in 2 Peter 1:1. James and Jude also in James 1:1 and Jude 1. So we see they call themselves bondservants to God. And we are exhorted ourselves to become like bondservants. 1 Peter 2:15-16. Now, a bondservant was a person who owed somebody something, money or what have you. And that's how they looked at themselves. Back then, slavery was just, you know, a fact of life that people had to live with, and that's the way that primitive type people back in that day did things. And we know that slavery didn't start ending until, you know, the 1500s and then down through the 1800s, and you know, even today, unfortunately, people were sold into slavery. The whole word Shanghai comes from the fact that in Shanghai they had a slave trade. Somebody would go into a bar, they'd drink, and next thing they know, they woke up as a slave on a ship. So slavery is something bad that still happens today. Not sanctioned by government, but it happens. But these people, there were different types of slaves. If you owed somebody money, you had to work to pay off that debt. You couldn't declare bankruptcy or do anything like that. Then they had bought slaves. Then they had, you know, all kind of different slavery. But they will consider themselves bondservants, and we should consider ourselves bondservants to Christ. And we're never going to pay off that debt because of what Jesus did. We're never going to pay off that debt of sin that we owe to God. But through Jesus, He'll wipe that slate clean for us. Not that we're pure, not that we're good, but that we're trying to do our best, and that we love the Lord with all our heart and all our might, and that we love everyone else as, you know, the same way. That's how we win the blood of Christ, by obeying Him. We're called in 1 Corinthians 7:22-23 to a bond service in Christ. Our liberty in Christ is through our voluntary bond service. No one forces you to do this. Back then, if you owe somebody money, he could get the leaders of the tribe or the nation. They could get you and force you to do that. So we choose freely to be that bond servant to Christ. So we look in Matthew 23:8-10. In our life, if you have the master-servant relationship with Jesus as the master, He's master or Lord, as you might say. Jesus asked why one would call Him Lord but not obey Him, Luke 6:46. If you're going to call somebody the Lord of your life, if you're going to call God God, then why wouldn't you obey Him? Then that just makes good common sense. You know, yet people will, you know, go on their way and say, well, I'll just do what I want to do. It doesn't matter what the Bible says. I'll do it my way. And those in a relationship know each other. 2 Timothy 2:19. Those who claim to know God but disobey Him are untruthful. 1 John 2:3-5. If we do not know and obey God, He does not know us. Matthew 7:21-23. Let's look at that as we get down to the end here. In Matthew 7:21-23. Not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven, but only he who does the will of the Father who is in heaven. Many will say to me on that day, Lord, Lord, did we not prophesy in your name, and in your name drive out demons and perform miracles? Then I will tell them plainly, I never knew you. Away from me, you evildoers. Now, that catches my attention. And I'm thinking, okay, so just doing good deeds, while in it, that's good. While in it, we're told to help others. While this is part of what God wants us to do, what is Jesus talking about here? He's talking about He's not going to know those who don't obey God. I don't care how good you try to live your life, who you try to help, how much philanthropy you do out there, how many millions, if you've got millions, you give to people. You still have to obey God. It's good to do good, but it's also necessary that we obey. So how's your relationship with God this morning? Do you love God? You hear it in the pew, so I would imagine that you would say that. Or are you a friend of God? Do you consider God your trusted friend? Not only your God, your master, but someone who takes care of you. Because we're going to inherit a kingdom in heaven that we don't deserve. that only Jesus deserves, but he's going to share it with us. Are you in fellowship with God? How's your prayer life, as they say? How's your Bible study? Subjects and learning God's Word, because that's where His commands are. Are you a child of God? Do you consider yourself sons and daughters of God? Is God your Father? And Jesus said, call no man Father, but the Father above. And that's important, because God is our Father overall. Jesus didn't count flesh and blood. Faith was thicker than that. They say blood is thicker than water. Well, faith to Jesus is thicker than that blood. But if you're in Him in faith, then you're in the family. Is Jesus your Lord and Master? Is He the one you follow? Is He the one you trust? Not man, not any doctrine people come up with or ways like that, but just His Word, just what He told us. Do you know God? Now, we can't see Him personally, we can't see Him face to face, but we can know Him again through prayer and study. Does God know you? And that's the most important question. Well, He does if you'll obey His commands. If you do the things He tells us to do, as plain and simple as it is, then it's easy to know God, and it's even better to have Him know you. And that's what we hope for, because we don't want to be like those people who missed the boat, who tried to do some good things but didn't obey Him. So if you obey and continue to be obedient to God, then the answer to all those questions again is yes, and I hope that's the case. As in any relationship, there's a role to play with both participants. If only one party in a relationship is fulfilling their role, then the relationship either does not exist or will fade away or die due to a lack of participation. You know, if you constantly do something for somebody and they never help themselves and they're never there when you need help, and pretty soon you're not too keen on giving them a hand. Same way with God. Our obedience to God is the foundation upon which all the aspects of our relationship on God is built. And that's important to think about. Do you have a right relationship with God? Studying God's Word will tell you that. This is a question every accountable person must ask. A one-way relationship with God is not good enough. You have to have a relationship with God in your own mind. But if you're not obedient to His will, He has no relationship with you, as the Bible tells us, and your relationship with Him is not right. So, this morning, if our relationship is not what it should be with God, if we haven't given our whole heart to God through Jesus, then we haven't fully committed ourselves to that. Some people like to kind of dip their toe in the water, but they don't want to get too far in the water because they're afraid of what it's going to change in their lives, what it's going to cause in their lives. But all the things that it's going to change and cause in your life is going to be for your benefit. When trials come upon you, you're going to have strength and be with God and trust God to get you through them. You're not going to be running to a soothsayer to try to tell you what the future is going to be, but you're going to trust that God has your future in His hand. And that even if it's the end of your life on this earth, that you go to a better place. As Paul said, for him to live is Jesus' gain, but for Paul to die was Paul's gain, because he would reap his reward. While he lived, he spread the gospel and spread the word of Jesus. But when he passed away from this earth, that was his gain. We live in the kingdom now, and we're just going to change addresses one day. And we're going to go where there's no more tears, where there's no more pain, where there's no more sorrow, where there's no more suffering, where we won't have to pray for people we care about and people around the world we don't know but feel their suffering when they suffer. We won't have to pray about those things anymore. All our prayers will truly be turned just to praise of God and His kingdom. What a wonderful place to be. And to get there, as Jesus said, we just have to obey Him. As the song says, trust and obey. I don't know what your condition is this morning, but if you have need of the church, won't you come as we stand and sing the song of invitation?